A warm welcome to Session 13, The Value of Your Values. It's so great to be with you again. Today, we are going to dig down beneath our symptoms and start to investigate what causes so many of them by understanding what makes us tick. We will explore the unconscious systems that up until now have prompted you to make the choices and decisions that will contribute significantly to the symptoms and health challenges that you've been experiencing. The chrysalis effect is all about finding the underlying cause, because once we are aware that our thoughts, feelings, and behaviours have a direct impact on our body, we can change things and the symptoms begin to disappear. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, it is. However, it can feel a bit challenging at first because it does take a bit of time to embed any new thought or behaviour, but it's so worth it. And we know that recovery from what you're experiencing is worth the effort for you to get back the control over your life and well-being. Think about what you miss doing at the moment and keep that in mind. It will spur you on when you're having one of those difficult days. Your body has been warning you for a long time that what you are choosing to do is not serving you. It will always be trying to give you the signal if you are not being true to yourself in some shape or form. The worse the symptoms are, the harder your body is trying to get your attention. Are you ready to listen to those powerful messages and be grateful that your body cares enough about you to persist, no matter how long you've been ignoring it? Yes? Brilliant. Then here goes. In the first instance, we have to fully understand what drives our decisions. What has made you choose things like your career or your partner? What drives the choices you make in relation to money, leisure time, or food? The answer is that the foundation of all of our decisions was set long ago when we were very young. They are our values. They are often described as principles, the building blocks of our lives. They are the things that are important to us. Is family time a priority for you? Is having a good job important to you? How about being thought well of by other people? These fundamental preferences are tied into our values, and it is our values that literally drive our decisions. We are often unaware of how much influence they have over the way we feel until we make a decision that is not in line with our values. Then we feel low or upset. When we make decisions that honour our values, we feel a sense of contentment or inner peace. Our values directly impact our feelings and therefore have been defined as emotional states that we either seek to feel or wish to avoid experiencing. So, how do we know what they are? Well, there are hundreds of them, and for the most part, we don't think about them because we have grown up within families and organisations where they existed, often without even discussing them. If we take the following values, each value is intangible, and they mean very different things to different people. For some, security may mean having a regular wage and having savings in a bank. For another person, security may relate to personal safety. And for another, it may mean being part of a loving family or relationship. We are aware of these powerful states when we achieve them or are living our lives in harmony with them. We will experience an inner peace or joy as we make choices in line with our values. We also become acutely aware of them when our values are violated. We will notice a negative emotion, possibly anger, when someone else violates our value. Imagine having integrity as your highest value and someone accusing you of doing something you hadn't done. It will be difficult not to experience some kind of emotional response. When we violate our values, we may take quite some time to recognise the impact of what we are doing. Take the example of a person who thrives on risk and excitement, taking a job on a production line in a factory and spending 12 hours a day doing a repetitive task. The fallout from this may take the form of persistent tiredness or of a loss of interest in life, and if ignored, may begin to cause headaches or irritability. If this warning is ignored, we can become stressed, and this can lead to serious ill health. We will explore this in a section on stress later in the programme. This is only one example of how we might be doing something that really isn't us. It simply isn't what we feel is right for us. And when we dishonour our values, we make choices that don't fit in with what we believe is important to us. Where do our values come from? Elaine explains, saying, "The truth is we inherit them. We are born into a value set that we never chose. We will often have been placed into a school or a social circle that reflects those same values. In my own family, as I've said before, hard work was a top value, and if you weren't being industrious, you were called lazy. This set up an unspoken rule that you were only approved of if you worked long hours. It really was the answer to everything in our family. As a child, you crave approval, so you do the things that get it. Another one was respect. This came from a strong sense of class difference. I had a working class upbringing, and my parents would refer to people as educated or moneyed, and people in those categories were seen as more superior. And more importantly, we were taught to feel slightly inferior. Doctors, teachers, people who owned property or businesses were seen as above us and had to be respected at all costs. As a feisty child, I personally believed that people, whether in prominent positions or not, were just people. And it was their actions that would earn them respect, rather than the sense of their superiority. However, on many occasions, I experienced severe disapproval from my parents if I wanted to befriend those types of people. They're not like us. And if I wanted to speak up to an adult I believed was wrong or being unfair, I would be warned off and told not to be rude and punished. I hated this limiting concept and fought against it. Yet, when I mixed in those kind of circles, there was often a sense of not quite fitting in. The lesson of inferiority had taken root. It was only when I learned about how we imprint those values and belief systems from others that I understood that I would often try too hard in lots of ways to be good enough. I would worry about what others thought of me all the time. So I worked very hard to get their approval. Does that resonate with you? Did you disagree with any values in your family yet find yourself trying to fit in with them or struggling with guilt? Through the fascinating research on attachment theory, we have learned that humans crave connection with others. As babies, their survival depends on it. So we'll always choose attachment over authenticity, and we try to fit in to stay safe. Are you trying to be good enough? It is feelings like not good enough that cause stress in our bodies. This is always an element of what causes pain and fatigue symptoms. The feeling of needing to behave a certain way or become something other than who we are is of course detrimental to our health and well-being. Beware of your gremlins. Those values that were important to others when we were growing up stay with us and can cause us to experience conflict and low self-esteem. We know at some level that they're not our values. But when we try to take an action that doesn't fit with them, a horrid little voice pops up and makes us feel guilty or talks us out of doing what we want to do. So we do what is expected instead. In how many ways do we try to be good enough or live up to others' expectations? Or even worse, our own unrealistic ones? Have you got a little voice in your head telling you you need to do more? Or be better? It can become a form of self-abuse when we berate ourselves for not measuring up instead of praising ourselves for all that we have achieved. We know that a very common problem when we become ill is the denial stage. And when we don't realise we are becoming ill, we may feel terrified that we are becoming lazy. People torture themselves that they can't possibly be ill and that they must be getting sloppy and lazy instead. Has this happened to you? Take the gremlin test in your wellbeing exercises this week and see what your inner voice is saying to you. Elaine remembers how often she has witnessed this and recalls, I used to see it all the time when I taught in college. Young people starting their careers and doing courses that their parents chose for them because they thought it would be best for them. The two worst areas for this behaviour are medicine and law. Professor Nick Hall lectures in medical universities and he has lost count of the number of students who are ill because they're doing a course that their parents wanted them to do. Very important. This is your life and no one has the right to tell you how to live it. What are your family values? Have you ever shone a torch on your family values and had a really good objective look? In today's exercise, you'll have the opportunity to do just that. When you understand your values and realise they play a major role in your life and in your decisions, and therefore how you feel, you realise the importance of them. The thing I see most is that people who have never lost their health don't really value it and take it completely for granted, pushing themselves far beyond anything I would ever do now that health is one of my number one values. Now, the thing with values is that we look at our lives through the lens of our own values. When family and friends and the people in your life are living their lives through their own value lens, if you have very different values, relationships can have conflict. The good news is that the more we are aware of those values and those of our family, the less conflict there is. For instance, if you're a non-smoker and health is a high value, and people in your life smoke and don't eat very healthily, you may find it really hard not to say anything. As we know, when you have an illness, you do everything you can to feel better. And when you see people you are close to not taking care of themselves, it's hard not to say something. And that's because you care. But to them, it's not important because they feel okay. It can be the same in other areas with other values like money. Some people value saving it while others spend it. Some people value spending time with their family. Others think cleaning your car is a nice thing to do for you. But you would rather they spend time with you. Again, it's different values for everyone. And when you understand them, life becomes a little easier. You're not always going to agree, but you can accept and understand each other more. What happens if we live values we don't believe in? This is a vital key to recovery. Living values we don't believe in will be putting you under mental, physical, and spiritual stress. The problem is when we try and reject those values, families often get upset. When we learn from a very young age that going against the status quo in a family, school, church, or workplace will cause problems for us. However, the misery of our illness is without doubt, in part, the result of doing things we really don't believe in. When we feel our heart is not in something, we experience inner conflict. We are not being authentic. This creates stress which leads to all kinds of physical and emotional symptoms. In many cases, the conflict arises from trying to live in a value system that you have not questioned, but doesn't fit with who you truly are. A huge amount of stress-related illness emanates from our closest relationships. This can also happen when you are an adult and you have a partner or spouse whose value system doesn't match yours. If they have a strong-willed character, you will find that you will be doing lots of things you would rather not be doing. The difficulty is it becomes normal to you and then you'll justify it. But your body will be ringing alarm bells and showing unhealthy symptoms. So then you listen. Diseases of the soul are more dangerous and more numerous than those of the body. Chikero. The most important thing to glean from this foray into something as fundamental as upbringing and values is that we didn't choose either. Who you are born to is a lottery, and the values that are bestowed on young minds are just as random. So there is no need to blame parents and teachers as they inherited their values in the same way you did. Indecision and inner conflict. You know when you're not living in line with your values because you will be experiencing some kind of inner conflict. You find yourself saying, part of me wants to do X, but the other part of me wants to do Y. This is a head-heart battle, which creates an emotional response. This is often when you know what you want, but you can feel that it is pulling you away from your inherited religious or cultural values, which can create a fear of what will happen if you take this action. We worry about what others will think about us or say about us. Decision making is always impeded because we are unclear about our values or are still clinging on to ones that no longer suit us. Elaine says, it's also important to be honest with yourself. I used to say that family was my highest value, and that was why I worked so many hours. In fact, my family only ever saw me exhausted, and I was often preoccupied when my kids spoke to me. I learned that what I had been really doing was working for the recognition it would give me to prove I was good at something. It was, ironically, my family who suffered, because I became so ill I couldn't be a wife or mum to them. They would have preferred to have me healthy and accessible rather than earning a high income or being promoted. Quick check. When we honour our values, we feel a sense of peacefulness. When we don't, we feel dis-ease, which we know leads to disease. The other thing that is fascinating about our values is that whatever they are, they all lead us to the same thing in the end. Let us explain. Let's look at means values and end values. It's easier to look at these in terms of identifying the means value as a vehicle and the end value as a destination. For example, if financial success or making a difference is held as one of your values, it will be the means or vehicle you use to bring something to you. It's simple. You just ask yourself, if I were to have financial success in my life, what would this give me? And how would this make me feel? Keep asking and asking. And eventually, guess what you will say? It will make me feel happy or joyful or peaceful. Yes, that's it. That is what we all want to feel, joy or peace. These states promote your sense of well-being, which in turn creates good health. Our body is our navigation system that tries to guide us towards this feeling and warns us when we're heading off in the wrong direction. This is the case with every value because our values make us feel a certain way. It's amazing, we all want the same things, but we can only get to experience joy or peace when we're living our true values. Someone else's will never give you joy or peace. Is health one of your highest values? It probably hasn't been, but it will need to come first for you to get well and stay well. You will always have to be vigilant and protect your health as you would protect your most valuable possession. Those who have fully recovered are unshakable now, and if something will compromise our health, we say no to it. That doesn't mean we say, no, we can't do that because we will get ill. That's a negative focus. We simply say no thank you, or I won't be available. Honouring health as your number one value means you have to step up your level of self-care nutritionally, emotionally, physically and mentally. Top tips for honouring your number one value of health. Body. Cut out sugar and processed foods. Take the right foods with you when you're going out. Drink filtered water. Cut out alcohol and caffeine. Take the right supplements that support your system. Get adequate rest and stop overstretching yourself with activities to please others. Incorporate exercise into your week. Yoga is a great place to start. Top tip for your mind. Learn to say a big fat no to things you don't want to do. Praise yourself for every step you take to rebuild in your health. Read books that uplift you and support your well-being. Have you read The Journey by Brandon Bayes yet? You can access it on our members area of the website. Practice forgiveness of yourself and others. Learn to say no, always. Say no when you don't want to do something. If you struggle with guilt, just let it go. It's just an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. Release all guilt. Say, I have the perfect right to be me. Top tip for your spirit. Save energy for fun stuff. What would you be excited about doing? Listen to beautiful music that moves you emotionally. Meditate and empty your mind of tiresome thoughts. Top tip for your external world. Find other people that share your values and contact them. It's always exciting to meet like-minded people. We can talk about values on our Facebook group. Order or subscribe to a magazine that teaches you about health. Search for a course that captures what you would love to do and send off for information. This is such an important session as we know it's pivotal in recovery. In a future session, we will look at your belief systems, which will then take this work to an even deeper level. In the meantime, let us know what changes you decide to make. Enjoy the exercises, knowing you will have taken another step towards rebuilding your health. As Dr. Thomas Fuller notes, health is not valued till sickness comes. And Robin Norwood reminds you, make your own recovery the first priority in your life. The exercises this week are absolutely vital for you to get a firm handle on what your values are. You will be able to release the ones that no longer fit in with who you are now. You will know exactly what decision to make, because you check if it fits in with your values. If it does, you can go ahead. If it doesn't, you'll get a message from your body, which you should listen to. So let's quickly recap the value of values. Our values are learned. They will be the result of our parenting, our cultural heritage, our education, the people we mix with, and the influence they have on us. The fact that they are learned means that they are not necessarily truly what we want and may become rules that we feel we should live by instead. Just as we let go of old possessions that are no longer useful, we can release old values that are no longer appropriate and serve no useful purpose. Think of a value like duty and service, and you can imagine a parent who gave their life to the military or doing voluntary work for charity, bringing up their child to believe that these are an essential part of everyday life. The children of such a parent may have wonderful gifts as an artist or musician and want to live with very different priorities. Aaron Whiston is emphatic about the importance of values work. He says, when you shrug off your obligatory values and get to the root of what you really care about, life changes in a big way. Your days are filled with a sense of excitement that simply wasn't present before, and you begin to see possibilities that were previously invisible to you. Enjoy discovering your true values, and I'll be with you on session 15.